Are we there? Yeah. All right. I can't press a button. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And we're going to be taking our study this evening from verses 12 through 17 of 1 Timothy 1. You know, it's a very interesting thought to think about how most of the world already knows the information about Jesus. As we think about evangelism, and how most of the world is actually not in a relationship with Jesus, but most of the world already knows a lot of the information about Jesus, that's kind of troubling. And you think about that and you wonder why. Well, most people already know the story and it's not impactful to them, or it's not impacting to them, because it's the same story that their non-transformed parents told them. Or maybe the story is impacting to them. They know it and it's changed their lives. But if they are in the world, if they are not in a relationship with our God, then, and they know the story, maybe it's just because they've never really seen the impact of the story of Jesus' grace. What if, then, instead of simply telling people the story that has changed our lives, what if we also blend in with it how our lives, the story of how our lives have changed right along with it? Because if we're honest, that's how our lives have changed as well. We don't just know the story. We know many people around us who have been changed, and that motivates us to know Christ more. So what if, instead of just and only telling people the story of Jesus' love, let's tell them the story of Jesus' love and grace in our lives? I think that would be a lot more impacting way to share redemption story, to share the story of grace and make it personal, speak it from a personalized point of view. I think that'd be the case. But if we were going to do that, then two things have to happen. Christ's grace has to actually have changed our lives, and we have to know how Christ's grace has actually changed our lives. Most of us would never, ever deny that Jesus is a very important person and God to us. But if you were to tell your friends about how Jesus had changed your life, how would you do it? How would you share that with them? So in 1 Timothy chapter 1, in verses 12 through 17, what Paul does there is he shares with Timothy the story of how Christ's grace has changed his life. Paul knew exactly where he had been, what he was doing, and where he was going, all because Jesus had changed his life. And so the purpose of us studying this text tonight is for us to consider Paul as an example, and Paul's words here in 1 Timothy 1 as an example for how we might formulate and tell our own story in conversations with other people that we have relationships with, as we talked about this morning. Because not only will this be helpful for us, if we know our story, it's going to be encouraging to us as we think about, wow, that is where I was, and wow, this is where I'm going, and it will give us purpose and identity and direction. But not only will it help us evangelistically, our story will provide hope to the lost world. It will provide hope to our friends who are directionless and hurting and are needing to know their God, to know our God. And so what we're going to do tonight is take Paul as an example here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. But join with me in noticing first, you got to start before Jesus Christ came into our lives. So notice with me first, verses 12 through 15, and let's notice how Paul lived before he was in a relationship with God. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. So Paul begins in verse 12 by thanking Jesus for appointing him to his service. But it's very clear in verse 13 that that is not where Paul always was. Paul was not always serving Jesus. Rather, in verse 13, the contrast is that Paul was previously a persecutor, opponent, an insolent opponent of God. He says at the end of the verse that he acted ignorantly in unbelief. If you know the story of Paul, then you know that he was a Christian-hating persecutor, dragging Christians into prison. He made it his life's aim to stop Christianity from spreading. In Acts, we read about all kinds of things that he did. It says in Acts 8:3, it says, Paul was ravaging the church, entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Acts 9:1 says, Paul was breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. We know that Paul consented to the stoning of Stephen. Faced with these atrocious sins, what Paul could easily do in this passage is he could come in and kind of brush the sins to the side. Well, we could do what sometimes I hear today. Paul wasn't really that bad. He just needed the right information. No! Paul said he acted ignorantly in unbelief. He gave no excuse for where he was. Paul was a terrible person. He was unrighteous. And he could have just brushed that aside. But instead, he openly and fully admits exactly who he was and exactly where he was before Jesus came into his life. He was a persecutor of Christians and an opponent of God, and he owned up to it. As we consider our testimonies then of Christ's grace, I believe that Paul's admission of his own past can teach us about how we need to view our own past. So I want for you to be considering for a moment, what is your before Christ story? What is the story of your life before Christ? As you do this, I understand you might be taking notes on things right now. You might not want to be writing your testimony right now. If you feel like it, that's great. But writing your story or details right now may be something that can be something you do later on throughout the week in your devotional time. But be thinking about these things at least right now. Where were you before Jesus came into your life? I think the first thing that we see in Paul, as he described where he was before Jesus, is he was fully honest about it. He was brutally honest about it. And that's something that we need to be as well. We need to be brutally honest. And if you're someone who's grown up in a Christian household, in a household with Christian parents, I know this is probably difficult. It's difficult for a lot of people who grew up with Christian parents. Oftentimes, we might see ourselves as, well, I mean, at one time or another, I was accountable for my sins, but condemned, ignorant, and unbelief, an opponent of God? Well, Romans chapter 3 says, none is righteous, no, not one. We need to be honest about where we were before Christ, as honest as the Bible is about us. The Bible says that we are not righteous, or at least we're not where we may be today, or should be today. And so be honest. Where were you? What were you participating in? And second, we need to be specific. We need to specifically know the sins that we were committing. We need to specifically know the effect of the sins that we were committing. That's what Paul was here. He was very specific. Persecutor, insolent opponent of God, acting ignorantly in unbelief. I recognize that these are not always things that we might share specifically with other people. You may desire to, and you may feel comfortable to do that. But we need to at least know that in our own mind. We need to know where we were. We need to know honestly and specifically where we were. It's so important because when Paul was honest about where he was before Jesus came into his life, it humbled him. It caused him to truly appreciate Christ's death. He knew exactly where he had been. He did not want to return. And it caused him to be passionate about the cross. It caused Christ's love to control him, as we talked about this morning. We are not going to appreciate the impact of Christ's love in our own lives if we are not honest and specific about our lives before Jesus. then when we honestly understand our hopeless state before Jesus, I believe then it will motivate us by reminding us of how hopeless we were before. I was in a situation where I was doing X, Y, and Z, committing these sins, and all I was going was deeper and deeper into sin, seeking fulfillment. I had no joy. Man, imagine if you share that with your friends. Your friends who might think that you're the typical prideful, as the world thinks, the prideful, arrogant Christian. But you begin your story of grace as you begin to share Christ with them. You share with them how you've not always had this kind of put-together life that you have today. And that will disarm them completely. That will show them that you aren't who they maybe thought you were. It will show them humility. And so that's the beginning. That's the beginning of where we need to start as we tell our story of grace to our friends that we have a real relationship with. By the way, that's why the relationship aspect matters that we talked about this morning. You might feel comfortable telling a random stranger these things, and if you get the opportunity, wonderful. But when you meld the deep relationship of trust and honesty and openness with your openness about where you were before Christ, it blends into a perfect marriage where we truly become an effective ambassador for Christ, I believe. Now notice how Paul's changed life also matches ours. Though Paul was a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent opponent, God acted. You might know the story in Acts where Paul was on the road to Damascus seeking permission to continue in his sin, seeking permission to imprison more Christians. But Jesus Christ appeared before him on the road. And from there on, everything changed in Paul's life. Paul says in verse 12 that he was given strength because the Lord appointed him to his service. As John has mentioned a few times, what Paul was given here is Paul was given the opportunity and the blessing to be useful in Jesus' kingdom. Christ took his lead opponent and made him a useful apostle, made him one of his biggest supporters. We may wonder why Jesus did this and how Jesus did this. But if you notice verse 15, the question should not stand in our minds anymore. He says in verse 15, "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost." Jesus came into the world and appeared before Paul, his opponent, and made him a lead proponent of Christianity, because that's what Jesus came to the world to do. Jesus didn't come into the world to give a little aid to some good people who got in a little rut. He came to save his enemies. He came to change his enemies. That's why he came and did that to Paul. And it changed the direction of his life. He was blessed instead of being punished. And that melted his heart of stone and caused him to love Christ. It was life-changing for him. Hardened hearts are softened when love is shown at such a great cost and is seen in such a personal light as it was for Paul. And so Paul left his sin and embraced his role in Jesus' kingdom, and that caused his testimony then to be very, very clear. I hated Christ, but mercy made me love him. I was a persecutor, but now I am his apostle. I have life, I have peace, I have joy, I have purpose. Our after Christ story might not be quite as dramatic as Paul's, I understand. But I believe it still should be just as personally significant to us as it was for Paul. And so I want for us to consider then for a moment two ways that our story needs to continue from the before Christ stage. First, as Jesus' grace transformed Paul, his life became completely unrecognizable from what it was before. Paul did not become perfect, but Jesus' love did change him. Sins were removed, or at least he grew in his walk with the Lord and grew away from those sins. And so with a clear picture of your unredeemed life in mind, think first, how has my life changed with respect to sin? What sins has God overcome in my life? Has grace motivated me to put away that were causing me to be dissatisfied, lonely, and living a life of death and pointlessness? What sins have I gotten through? For some of you, that story has just begun or is in its beginning stages. And so be thinking, how is Christ already changing my life today? How is he already changing how I am thinking about my walk with Jesus today? Others of you, like John, have been in this race for 100 years or so, maybe 1,000 years. I'm not really sure. 2,000 years. Man, 2,000 years. And it's a long story. It's a really long story in John's case. It's a long story. And so be thinking, what sins was I originally redeemed from? Along the way, how did Satan continue to tempt me, but Jesus' grace suppressed those sins? We all have mountains and valleys, and we can be honest with those. We can be honest about those to those we are speaking to. There are times where it was tough and where we gave into temptation in that story. Talk about it. Talk about the mountains. Talk about the valleys. Talk about the trials. How Jesus has gotten you through difficult times, illnesses, and things of that nature. Be thinking about how your story is unique, because your story of Christ's grace is unique. Everyone's story is unique. That will cause us to appreciate, really, when you start to think about these things and you think about them in a specific nature and you think about the story of your life and how Jesus has been working, it is really motivating to be thinking about those things. Second, I want you to notice how Paul saw that he was not just redeemed from his sins, but he was redeemed for a purpose. He was cleansed and changed for a particular work in Jesus' kingdom, that is, to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. Notice in Acts chapter 26, verses 16 through 18, how Paul recounted the specific nature of what Jesus told him to do. Obviously, we're not going to have this happen in our lives where Jesus is going to come down and tell us specifically what to do, but we're going to get into how we can try to think about these things in just a moment. Notice what he says and how he recounts the story. He says, "I have appeared to you for this purpose," this is Jesus speaking, "to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light." So Jesus appeared to Paul to both redeem him from his sins and to appoint him to a specific work. And so I want to ask you, what work have you been redeemed to do? There are many ways that you can play a role in Jesus' kingdom. But all of us were redeemed for roles. All of us were redeemed to do particular things. It might be a few things. It might be that we're focusing on one thing at a time. Ephesians chapter 4, to try to give some examples. Ephesians chapter 4 focuses on leadership. It talks about evangelists, teachers, and shepherds who feed the flock and equip the saints. Romans chapter 12 and verses 16 through 18 speaks of servants, encouragers, leaders, those who are generous, those who show abundant mercy. Something we've been talking about here, if you desire to play a role in evangelism, you could be an inviter, you can be a teacher, you can be an encourager and connector in people's lives. Be thinking, what role do you desire to play in Christ's kingdom and in this church? Changing strengths and situations will definitely cause many to find themselves doing different works at different times in their lives, and that's a great thing. But be thinking about that. For some of you, this is a really clear thing. You can see, this is how I fit into Christ's kingdom. Christ has called me for this purpose. I'm a shepherd, or I am an inviter. I'm a teacher. I'm an encourager in people's lives. I help people keep on keeping on by studying with them and connecting with them and things like that. I'm a giver to the needy because I've been blessed with more physical blessings. You've got a clear picture of how Christ's grace is working in your life. Man, make that clear in your mind and continue to grow in that strength. Don't remain stagnant, but continue to grow. Seek to be the better servant, the better encourager, the better shepherd, the better evangelist, whatever it may be. Pursue those things and tell people about it. Live that lifestyle. There are others, though, I recognize you might not be certain of your role. You see how you were previously enslaved to sin, but you don't see spiritual activity, focusing on particular things and focusing on more than just not sinning, even though you might desire to get involved, you've not seen how you can get involved. And so I want you to be thinking about that. Think about that for some time. Pray about it. Study about it. Ask for clarity. Talk to people who are experienced and who have been in the work for a while. As John has mentioned multiple times, if you're wanting to get involved and you don't know how, believe me, you can talk to us and we'll help you see ways that you can get involved. We'll direct you to people. But be praying about that. Take opportunities to find new ways to function in the body. Consider your strengths. Consider what you love doing in the kingdom, how you love to serve people or how you love to give to people, and do it for Christ's glory. And think about this as well. Sometimes we can be a little reticent to try something new. But in reality, I don't truly believe that we know the types of teachers, preachers, servants, givers, inviters, encouragers, or shepherds we will be until we try our hand at it. You know, that's what I did when I was in West Palm Beach. I trained for 2 years there. I had no idea if I was going to be able to be useful in the work of preaching and evangelism and things like that and in teaching. I was not sure. And those Christians over there were very gracious in giving me an opportunity to try that out. And you're very gracious in continuing to give me that opportunity to continue on. But there's difficulties along the way, though, too. Whenever we try something new, it might not always be instantly easy. I can testify that that is definitely not the case for my own life. As you try something new, and maybe you try to teach people or share the gospel with people or serve people, you might feel like you're fumbling around and you're fumbling around in the dark. There might be tears. You can ask Ashley. There are many as you try to grow in these things. As you fail, as you get back up, don't stop. Resistance is not a sign of our failure. It is just simply the sign that growth is difficult. Growth is tough. It might be the sign that Satan is trying to work against us being truly useful in Christ's kingdom. But be thinking about these things. If you are unsure of where you fit in, be thinking about the lists I gave or other things that you might be thinking of and reading about in your Bible, and dedicate yourselves to these things. Dedicate yourself to focusing on one or two strengths or one or two ways that you can serve or teach or lend a hand in Christ's kingdom. And I do want to say I appreciate how involved so many of you are. It is really encouraging to me to come here and to find out how many things are kept afloat in people's lives and how many people are served and how many souls are pursued, because so many people already see that. And man, take those people who are really active as an example if you don't feel like you yourself have found your place in Jesus' kingdom. That will give you identity. That will give you direction. But that's not just useful for you and I in our walk with God, is it? Notice verses 16 to 17 and how Paul saw that this served an even greater purpose than giving him identity and direction. So cool, this verse here. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, referring to himself as the foremost of sinners, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. See, Paul saw how mercy given to the worst of sinners benefited more than just him. Christ showed mercy to Paul so that Jesus' perfect patience could be put on display to the world. If Jesus could show mercy to a Christian hater and change the life of one of his greatest opponents and give him purpose in Jesus' kingdom, who can't be transformed? Who cannot receive grace? Who cannot receive mercy? Who cannot be given a place in Jesus' kingdom? There is none. Paul's testimony was a beacon in the first century world that still shines so brightly today. Guys, this is the power of knowing the story of Jesus' grace in our lives. Atheists today still look at the beacon of Paul's life and are confused, and they wonder if Jesus may have actually risen from the dead because of how much Paul's life was changed. That's how powerful Paul's testimony was. It still changes our lives today. It still gives atheists questions. It was powerful then. It was so powerful that the second half of Acts already tells the story of Paul's redemption and changed life. But then Luke didn't see that as enough. He recorded Paul telling his testimony two other times later on in Acts. That's how powerful his story of Jesus' grace was. And I believe that our stories can still also be a living example of what Christ can do in other people's lives as well. This is why we need to have a firm grasp on our own story, our own particular story of Jesus' grace. Because as I mentioned this morning, this is the one gift that everyone has. We all have mouths, and we can all simply tell, if we think about it beforehand, we can all simply tell people what Jesus has done in our lives. We can all do that. What an awesome ability that God has given us. What an awesome opportunity that we have to do that. And to do that, we've got to know where we've been. We've got to know that where we've been so that we can relate to others' spiritual emptiness. It's not that this is confession time where we're just telling people about our sins, but this helps us relate to their emptiness because they feel directionless. They feel hopeless. They don't think that they can be where we are today. But when we know where we've been and we share that with them, that's a beacon of hope to them as we continue to move on to tell them where we are and where we're going and how Jesus has actually redeemed that terrible sinner that I just told you about to do something useful. That's motivating to them. That causes them to have hope. And it's important also that we know where we're going and that we know what Christ's grace has done in our lives. And it's important that we can speak with confidence about how Jesus has changed our life. Because honestly, if we don't have that type of confidence, then our story won't have a lot of purpose in their eyes. They've heard the story about Jesus all over. They know that the world has gone to snot. They know that people aren't living right. That might be a euphemism, actually. So I apologize if that is. if that's not, then goody, goody. But you can tell me afterwards. John has a book. How the world is not good. They know that the world is not good. And so it's not just that we're sharing our poor lifestyle. We're sharing our how we've been changed. And that gives purpose and hope to them. And then our words and our lives will be testimonies to the world of power that Christ's grace has. And imagine just if all the Christians in this church were to learn their own stories and to have a firm grasp on that, then Jesus would have over 100 beacons here in West Houston going around telling their stories to people. You think that has an influence? Absolutely. When you start out with 12 scared guys back in the beginning of Acts and you think about the world of change that has happened today and how you and I know about Jesus today, yeah, it has an effect when just a handful of people know what Jesus has done in their own lives. People don't know the story about how Jesus has changed your life, even though they might know the story of Jesus' life. And when we will tell it in that way, it's impacting because it tells the story of Jesus' grace in the way it was meant to be told, in a real way. I want to consider with you how biblical this idea is that we are all joining together to do this. In Isaiah 55 and verse 13, Isaiah actually prophesied that this was going to happen. In Isaiah 55, at the beginning of Isaiah 55, Isaiah talks about he makes a call to all the hungry. You might know the passage where he says, "Come, you who are thirsty, come, you who have no food and no money, come buy and eat." And he invites them to take a part in spiritual life. And at the end, he shows the result of that as he speaks about what would happen to the people. He says, "Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." That's very poetic, but the essential message of that passage is this. We were briars and thorns that nobody wanted. But because God called to us as hungry, empty souls and changed our lives, we have become like cypresses and myrtles. We are strong and we are planted because of the word of the Lord. And we are now making a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that cannot be cut off. Just think about it. You would not know about Jesus today if this whole Jesus thing didn't actually change people's lives. It wouldn't have got out of the first century. But the reason we still know about Jesus today is not just because of the Word of God, but because the Word of God has living and active power to change people's lives. And we know about it today, we would have given up. Gamaliel was right. If this is of man, then it's going to be squashed. The fire will be put out. But that's not the case. And then I want you to see your life then as so important, because people are questioning. People in the world are questioning whether or not that ancient book can still change people's lives. Be the living proof that that is the case, that it can still change people's lives. We can do that by talking about our past, living the changed life, talking about where we're going, praising God, and sharing that with other people. And that will be for the glory of Christ, as Paul says there in verse 17, as he praises God about where he has been in his life. I hope this will be helpful to you all as you think about where you have been in your life and where Christ is taking you. I believe this will help us to be good ambassadors for Christ when we seek to make real relationships with people and then share with them what is behind where we are today. I hope this will be helpful, and if there's any way that we can help you in your walk with God, we want to be able to do that, because Jesus has changed so many lives here in this room. And if you're someone who, like many, has been sitting in silence, yet you're not going anywhere, and you've been scared to admit it, and you've been scared to go somewhere, you've been scared to talk to people, man, talk to us, because we've all been there. We've all been in the valleys. We've all been in the places where we feel like we want to be continuing on in our relationship with God, but we're not. As we talked about tonight, the story of Jesus' grace must continue on in your life as you desire it to. So talk to our shepherds here. Talk to us if you need help in that way. If there's any way we can help you in your walk with God, go ahead and come forward to the front while we stand and sing.